Thanks, Baron. I'm just adjusting this here. I don't know if you guys know. There we go. Now I'm on. I could hear that. It's good to be heard. So I work at a surf shop in Huntington. I don't know if you guys surf, but if you need a surfboard, come and see me. Baron got a wetsuit this week. That was cool. Thanks, Baron. Yeah. I've been a manager there for just about as long as I've been married, which is seven months, yeah. Yeah. Amen. That's it. Go home. That's it. Praise God for that. That's been fun. One of the funny things about that is I'll be at work and a guy notices my ring. Guys do this all the time, and you'd think what they would say would be like, oh, cool, you're married, cool, but no, they don't. And it's been one of the, surprising things for me is I don't get, praise for being married. Is that so funny? They go, cool, you manager here? Yeah, I'm manager here, cool, you're pretty young to be a manager, yeah, sure. You're married? Why? And I'm like, what do you mean, why? Why? What are you talking to me about? Yeah?
What would you say the average age?
Yeah, that's good. The average age would be, 25 to 50. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They say, ball and chain, huh? I'm like, yep. That's why I did it. you're tied down early, huh? I'm like, yeah. What do you say? What the heck? It's, so horrible. They say, what do you guys, I want feedback for, what do you guys think that they say, Brad, anybody, yeah, what, let me see here. Not what do they say, but why? Do you guys have any idea why people bag on me for being married? Right.
Yeah. Guys tend to think that somehow that's being a guy or there's a manly aspect to it, somehow you're distancing yourself from that.
Right. From being the John Wayne or something.
There's unfortunately, too, the sort of more than slightly sexist idea that because many marriages end in divorce, that they're just saving themselves from the financial hassle.
Yeah, finance, that's what I think too. Money, yeah. Right.
Or they failed at it or are failing at it and are bitter.
Right, and that's the one that I was thinking is a lot of the times what happens is they say that, they think that I'm going to jump on board with, marriage, blah, and then they start bagging on their own. And that happens a lot too, all the time, you guys. I'm at work, surf shop, and dudes are just thinking, man, I'm just going to bag on my wife. Yeah, Kim.
I think they're trying to be funny. Yeah. It's kind of sad, but it's I'm trying to relate to you, and other people think it's funny, so I'm just going to perpetuate
yeah.
That sarcasm and joke.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, that sarcasm
Yeah. Baron.
I think deep down everyone wants to be married. They want to have a relationship. And they haven't been able to find it, so they mask how they feel about it. They swing the pendulum the other way.
Yeah, sure. It's like a protection. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I think our society doesn't like the responsibility that comes with commitment. And
that's it.
They don't like the fact that they have to be with one person and be faithful and ride out the good and the bad times.
Sure.
They want the freedom to have the good times, but they don't want the responsibility of having to stick through it.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think they're convicted when they come up to you because they think, and so they sort of need to tear into what you're up to, because a confident, godly man that's dedicated to a woman is so powerful that I think they just have to tear into that, because you are such a great witness with just saying, I'm married and solid. And the Holy Spirit does the work.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
You're getting that comment from straight men, right? I don't think a gay man's going to say, why women? They're going to be happy.
That's good, yeah. Sure, yeah.
They just now have the, you know, they can get it now.
Right. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeremy?
I think you're going to, you find too that you can't win at that conversation, because if you respond by saying something positive,
right.
Tell them that, and they
right. Go, oh, give it time. Right. So I come up with comebacks like, I know it's going to be tough. Or I say, yeah, I'm in it for the long haul. And it's honestly, it's sort of hard, like, because if they make a joke, they're my customer. I'm kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm going to laugh. Like, I'm going to play along with this little game of theirs. And honestly, like, I've been convicted, like, man, why did I just... I laughed at him bagging on his wife or something, like, nothing gnarly. If it was gnarly, I'd be like, hey, dude, get out of my shop. Or buy that $800 surfboard. Like, come on. I'm not going to laugh. It's just crazy. But I think she was right when she said it's hard. Like, it's really hard to, you know, to be committed and disciplined and committed and loyal and committed and humble. And that's where, like, I'm like, man, our society is so much of, like, push it off if it's hard and just stick with the easy stuff. Like, just stick with the subject of learning that you love the most. Or, you know, don't do something that you don't want to do. Oh, heck, that'll be horrible, you know? So the marriage thing where I was seeing it was like, wow, our society hates the loyalty, the humility, the commitment, the discipline, the strength it takes, like the focus, like the directedness of, oh, and love. I mean, come on, like when I say I love my wife, it's like, dude, what? You know? So let's just go to the Bible here. There's Ephesians 5:21. Thanks for all the feedback, by the way. Starting at verse 21, we're just going to talk about marriage for a minute because I'm married and I'm allowed to. Yeah. All right. I'll start it. And I want you guys to hear, like, the part of this that's, it's not easy. It's like Paul saying, like, submit, and it's hard, and sort of the, like, struggle of it, just a little bit. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's hard right there. Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and himself its Savior. As the church is subject to Christ, let wives also be subject to Christ. So let wives also be subject in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives. The word there is agapao. It's towards your wife, intentional. The root is agape, so agapao. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that the church might be presented before him in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Even so, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no man hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. This is a great mystery, and I take it to mean Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let his wife see that she respects her husband. Riley and I go to Long Beach often to this bar, and Kim and Tim, you guys have been there, but anyway. It's just a cool beer bar and super like laid back, and there's a big open space with pool tables, and there's a jukebox me and Riley just pump money into. We probably spent like $200 there. And we'll just hang out, and Riley, she dances. She dances good. She dances real good. If you're not married yet, get a wife who dances. That's gonna be great. She and I, we started dating at this bar, and even when we were dating, we would put on this song, and we would dance in the bar together, you know, like a slow dance, nothing crazy, I'm not too good, but sometimes I could do river dance, I break out and get crazy on the bar, but the pressure that I feel when I'm dancing with her is like, who's watching? Is this okay? Is this accepted? You know, and that's just when we're dating. Now when I'm married, almost the same thing. Like when we're kissing or something, I'm like, this feels so, like I feel people looking at me and I feel them scolding me. The pressure is just incredible. Like, don't do PDA with your wife. But if you're cheating on your wife, go ahead. We'll all cheer you on. And it's just like, when I'm trying to be good with her and everything, there's a pressure there that isn't from me. It's this world. It's just like, wants to stomp it out and stomp me down and tell me not to be married at such a young age, not to have PDA with my wife. And so I gave you guys these cards and pens. And please take out the cards and the pens. And I want you guys to write a letter of love. If you're not married, you can write it to your neighbor. I'm gonna turn to a scripture, and then we're gonna write after the scripture. Okay, Matthew 22. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And these two commandments depend on all the law and the prophets. So there you go. We got to love our neighbor. So please write on there just like 4 to 5 sentences. Just say some nice, kind words, graceful words, loving words. I'll give you guys like 2 minutes, just a brief. Okay, 5 minutes. Loving words for either a spouse, a spouse or a neighbor. It's all under the same, a spouse or a neighbor. If you're married, you better do your spouse. And just notice, like, if it is difficult, you know. You gotta do it, Dad. Affection, care, grace, kindness, love, gentleness. It's all under the same umbrella. Got about 1 more minute. And sign your name too. Was it difficult?
It was hard to limit.
Oh, was it hard to limit? That's right, because you're Christian. It should be hard to limit yourself. You guys still going? Keep going, that's fine. Yeah. That's cool. That's really cool. Okay. Cool. And you're going to have a hard time with the next one. Sure.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Yeah. Did anybody write to a neighbor? Did anybody write to someone you don't know? Did anybody write to a celebrity? Did anybody write to Bruce Jenner?
Caitlin.
Oh, Caitlin? Yeah. So it's, the world, it says in the scriptures, obviously, the world does love, but they love the wrong things. That was one of the places where that you find the one of the love. I was looking it all up, you know, and one of the uses of the word love, a lot of times in New Testament, is correcting the church and saying, no, don't love this, love this. Or correcting just the general world. Or like, the world loves the wrong stuff. The world loves the wrong stuff. So it's not always that the world doesn't, like, love something, you know, in the general sense, but they love the wrong thing oftentimes. I just wanted to throw that out there. So the next scripture I was going to read is Mark 12, 28 through 34. I'll just read it. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the first of all? Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And the scribes said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered him wisely, he said to him, are you not far from the you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him a question. Yeah, that's pretty good. So the neighbor part, that's pretty general, but the first part, that's where I get a lot of conviction. The world also, like, they don't like PDA for marriages, right? But they also don't like PDA for the Lord. And imagine the pressure for that. You know, Greg walks the neighborhood and he's like praying out loud and they probably think he's nuts. It's like the pressure to just like push us down as Christians is just incredible. It's so incredible. And the first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and strength. It's like a marriage. You know, it's not easy. And it's so cool to have the baptism coming up because that's PDA. That's like major, like we love Jesus and we give him our whole lives. We commit to him. You know, we're married to him. And we're married to him as a church, right? I read the Ephesians. And so the next letter I want you guys to write is to the Lord. So can you guys do that too? Take out the card. Write 4 or 5 sentences. It doesn't have to be too big and elaborate. The second card, yeah.
We have more cards for you.
Yeah, do we need more cards? Are we good? There's a lot of young people in here. Yeah, that's awesome. Looks like some of you guys are just about done. One of the stories that Adam says is about a guy. Him and you guys can probably just listen and keep writing, but Adam's out to, I think, breakfast or something with one of these, another scholar buddy or something. And they're talking about stuff, and the waitress comes up, and she spills something, and she curses, like, "Oh, Jesus Christ," like that, you know. And the scholar looks up to her and goes, "Do you know him? You've got to meet him. He's amazing. Oh." And when Adam tells that story, I'm like, that's what I want to be like, that guy, you know. I want to be like the guy who just loves Jesus and just like, "Oh, you've got to meet him. You've got to meet him. Do you know him? Like, do you really love him? Like, I love him." And do we love the Lord like that? That's my question for us. Do we love him like a bride? Like, do we love him like as if we're dating him? The love, phileo, that's another New Testament term, and it's like phileo is love. Philadelphia, that's brotherly love. So I've got a friend named Philip, and I Philip him. But one of the things that Adam says too is, if you approach quiet time like a date, you'll change. You'll feel it different if you start doing that. And I almost wore like a nice suit today just to be like, "I'm on a date. This is awesome. This is great." And I challenge you guys this week. This is your homework. For 7 days, write the same letter that you did today for the Lord. Just find time. It takes like 2 minutes. But please, like, just every day this week, let's pursue the Lord like a marriage. Every day this week, please just take 5 minutes. Write a quick little love letter, just gentleness. If you don't know what love is, look up 1 Corinthians 13, right? We all should know this. We're Christian. And that's the whole law is summed up in, we love the Lord and we love people. And so do we do it? Can we like just pursue this love relationship with the Lord this week? And lastly, maybe marriage is like a ball and chain, right? I mean, I'm committed to Riley. I'm not going anywhere. I can't. It's not my rules. The Lord set it up. Marriage, you commit, you stay in it, right? And so if I do love the Lord like a slave, like, hey, I do. I'm not going anywhere. And there's something that Adam told me about this whole sermon. In Exodus, God's giving the people rules about slaves. And one of the rules is so funny. The law says, if a slave comes in unmarried and you let him marry, let him be released after 6 years, and, you know, you keep the family. But if he says, I love my master, I love my family, then he gets to stay and be married. Is that so weird? He's like, I'm a slave, and I love my master, and I'm going to stay. And the Lord's like, yeah, you can stay. Let's do that this week, 7 days a week, even if it is, it's like a ball and chain. Oh, it's a ball and chain. I want to say like, yeah, it's aluminum and bam, I'm married. I love it. Yeah, you know, I'm committed to this thing. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, it's good to have you love us. And it's good to be loving this world. for others to see, and we know that this world needs your love. They need to see your gospel. Please use us for that. Please give us the grace to pursue you like this with love pointed at you. And may it change us, Lord, and may it stamp our lives as Christians. We give our week to you, Lord, and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah?
I just wanted to say, like, when I first came to this church, one of the things that really stuck out to me was the high place of honor that marriage is held in among you all. And as somebody who's engaged and moving forward in the marriage, it was really, like, comforting and encouraging to be in an environment that does hold marriage in a place of honor. So I just wanted to give you all just, you know, like, encouragement in that and just say that that stuck out to me. And I think that's one of the reasons the Lord called me here for this season of my life. So I want to
thank you. We're honored to have you guys here. All right, I guess I'll do the benediction too.
Sure.
Please rise. And Brad, you had no idea, but you said some stuff about love the Lord. And Rick, you too, you guys were all like, man, it's good to have the Lord talk, right, to me and to you guys. All right. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you. May he grant you peace. May he fill you with love. May you know his grace. May his face shine upon you. And all God's people said,
amen.
Go in grace.